On your way up and on your way down, you gotta stop at this rocker station.
Good morning. You've tuned in to the International Connection here on CKLN 88.1. We are in week number 8 of a radio series about mind control. Today we are listening to part 2 of the story of Ronald Howard Cohen, a writer and activist who was abducted by CIA and U.S. military and severely drugged as part of Project MKUltra. He has pursued finding out why this has happened and attempted to get some justice. We will hear his story of writing a book about his ordeal and the government's interference in suppressing the book from being published. Now, Ronald Howard Cohen.
The most reassuring thing that came out during the Carter administration without me going to the files and dragging all that stuff out, thank God, okay, I'm not nuts. Okay.
And you're not alone.
I'm not alone. This really happened. That really, okay. So that, that was something, that was solid, okay. So that was good, okay. Now, the next turn of events, which was very large, was Ronald Reagan, which, please, I ask you, to control me if I start getting angry and annoyed at Mr. Reagan. I would like to stay even-toned. But the thing is, with Reagan, what had been done was there was more... The intelligence community was very upset because Carter put in a bunch of lawyers, okay? And he said, look, you guys got to deal with a bunch of stuff, but before you go out and do this stuff, run it through with these guys, okay? So from what I understand, the ego of the people involved in all of that is like, we'll do whatever the hell we really want, you know? And the thing is, they Carter got out, right? And I'm sorry, this all makes me a bit nervous. Carter got out, and Reagan got in. Okay. Now, there was a very good article in a magazine called The Progressive, okay, which I remember the title of it was, and I was back in New York at that time, okay, was Back in the Saddle Again. Okay. And what Reagan said to them was like, look, Carter hung you up. Hey, whatever you want, write your tickets. When you sent in requests on the Freedom of Information Act, and to understand my reason that also I try to establish a personal relationship with the librarian who's answering the ad thing, and also when I write to senators or stuff like that, or Congress people, I not only write to their Washington office, but I write to their state office. Right? I mean, you're doing your job, you got to get elected every couple of years, do your job. I was raised by a union politician in New York City, right? From the Plumbers Union, Anyway, so the thing is that Reagan, when you sent in for requests then, forget it, forget it. You didn't get any information, okay?
Were you able to get a significant amount of information?
Significant
through
enough, Reagan and Bush and through it all, and also I'm a damn good researcher, okay, and I'm also persistent as hell, okay, and I'll go eyeball to eyeball. So the thing was, I went back to I was divorced, and I was having the book Transgression was written, okay, and it covered the drugging. Okay, I had written this out, and I knew from having lived in New York, okay, because when I was a young bohemian, living in New York, I knew, like, hey, man, you want to get published, which parties do you get invited to? You know, who do you know? You know, okay. So, you know, 57th Street and 5th Avenue. I've been uptown, you know. And so, anyway, so I knew, like, hey, you want to get published, go move back to New York. Okay, so I moved back to New York and got an agent in New York. And the agent is very interesting. I was very flattered. She was an older woman. And one of her clients, she knew very many, many famous, influential people. And she had an office on Park Avenue. One of the people who had been her client was an author named Upton Sinclair, who had written a book that was called The Jungle, which was about the meatpacking industry in Chicago. Very working class writer, basically that's my orientation from a literary point of view is basically working class novelist, but that's a whole other discussion. So I had the agent, and the book was going around New York, so you know I had to get my day job. I mean, you know, you have to. You know, survive as an artist in the society. Okay, so what had happened? All of a sudden, this is very interesting stuff. What happens, by the way, is I start getting mail from CISPIS. Okay,
CISPIS.
Yeah, the committee. I mean, Nicaragua is going on.
El Salvador.
Yeah, El Salvador. Okay. I didn't attend meetings. I was very functional in New York, okay? I was like, you know, I was just, you know, taking care of business, coming in from Canada, getting an agent, getting my book published, and I was going to get back to Canada. My stuff, I had moved out of Canada, but my stuff was in a small town in Vermont, in a storage facility in Vermont called Brattleboro, Vermont. And that was all my belongings, and I went back down to New York City and was living in Chelsea, which is around the 23rd Street West Side area, I was very cautious. Okay, I mean, like, New York is heavy turf. Okay, and you gotta know what you're doing, and you gotta just take care of business and just stay very focused and centered. Okay, so I knew that, you know, I knew what I was doing. I watched my behind.
So at this point, the book had been completely written.
The book was written.
Right.
It was at an agent. It was being shown around to publishing houses.
Okay.
And
then, just to clarify, all of your manuscripts, all your documentation,
everything. Now we're talking 25 years worth of work is stored along with, you know, everything else that a person. My pots and pans and et cetera, everything, you know, my sheets and towels, you know, and everything else is stored up in a storage facility. But all of the writing is in cardboard cartons and two trunks. There's quite a bit of writing in Brattleboro, Vermont, okay? And, I mean, I was sort of tentative, you know. I basically felt like, no, I want to be back in Canada, but, well, if really New York works out, well, maybe I'll go back there. But, you know, no, I'll just keep it here, and then I'll get settled, and then I'll come back to Canada. I'd rather be there. Okay. So I have documentation from you know, landed immigrancy and citizenship and all that from both countries. Okay, so anyway. So thing is that I'm there. Now, what this leads into is I had two mind-blowing, for lack of better terminology, and that's very adequate terminology, set-up situations. Okay, here I am in New York looking for the day job while my agent is trying to peddle my work about covert operations of the FBI, the CIA, and U.S. Army intelligence.
On U.S. citizens.
On U.S. citizens. Well, I tell you, you know, Joe reads this And he calls up Sam, and Sam calls up Harriet, and they say, who the hell is Ronald Howard Cohen, and what is this book all about? Okay? Okay.
So, the publishers you're talking about.
I'm talking about what, from my understanding of operations of the intelligence community, okay, is that they're in all avenues of the corporate, military, industrial, corporate interlock, okay?
Including media.
I mean, everything, okay? Including the New York Times, which we'll get to, but the thing is that, like, what you do is, like, you know, if you want people to know what's what, you train them, and you say, very nice, go back to your job, you know, or goodbye, you know, and then they become literary agents, or they become editors at book publishers, or they become, whatever, you know, field of endeavor they are, okay? But if there's anyone who wants to know, I mean, that's why, you know, you have to be very cautious about what you're doing, and that's really based, I mean, I've never been trained on the farm, I mean, I don't know, this is all basically, you know, like, somewhat based on factual, you know, but still conjecture, in the sense that, like, I don't really know what goes on, you know, but it's just that, like, if there's somebody who's functioning, you know, in this profession, oh, well, you got that person at that port, you know, who you can, you know, find out, you know, whatever the hell you want. So, anyway, I was working temporary agencies. Okay, and temporary office work in New York to see how quickly the book would sell. Okay, and then I'd beat it out of there. Okay, so I was doing my day job. Okay, so now the thing that's important to me from a personal point of view is here I've done all of this documentation, but up until that point I had never had any contact by any other person who had this done to them, okay, or anything similar done to them. I had never had it confirmed, you know, from an authoritative source, you know, which the set of situations did confirm that this all occurred, okay. So I was on pretty flimsy ground in a lot of ways. What I had was answers from my Freedom of Information requests and other books that I read and research and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, I go to this real estate management office. Okay, I get a temporary job. And I have some bookkeeping and accounting clerical skills. Okay. And so I get a job on 6th or 7th Avenue, around 45th, 46th Street, right in the center of you know, near New York, and the Times Square. And it's in this, you know, high office building, and you know, it's for a real estate management company. Okay, so put on my suit, go do the 9-to-5 gig. Okay. So I come into this place, and there's this guy, I mean, such a cliche. He looks a heavy-set guy, very intellectual, smoking a pipe with a beard. And he talks to me for a while, and it's like, you know, we talked for about an hour and a half. I haven't done any work, you know. And he's telling me about, you know, how he has a girlfriend who's in Russia. I mean, you know, and what do I care? You know, they're paying me. What do I care? Okay, so... Then we go into the boardroom, okay? Some company, this lovely boardroom, lovely big table, comfortable leather plush chairs, right? Nice, okay? So and there's coffee in the back, and there's drinks out there. It's very nice. Sit down, okay? And these two guys come in, okay? And there's stacks of paper in there, right? So the guy who led me in and had been talking to me for an hour and a half, he said, oh, these guys, they've been here for a while, they're temporary staff, they'll tell you what to do. Fine. So
this is again your first day on the job.
Okay. So they look at each other and they sit down, and he says, "Oh, you just check those boxes." So I start checking these boxes, and then one sits at the head of the table, one sits at his right hand side, and I'm down the table a little bit on the left hand side of the table. Okay. And I'm working away, and they're not really working, okay? So I look up at them, you know, and the guy sitting at the head of the table, he says, "You don't have to do that shit anymore." I said, "What?" He said, "Don't worry, you'll get paid for it." I said, "What?" I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm with the FBI." I said, "Oh, no shit." And again, a chill, you know, I mean, a little nervous there, you know, this is not your common average everyday experience, right? And I look at the other guy and I, you know, I say, "And who are you with, the CIA?" And he goes, "Uh-huh." Okay. So they look at me and they say, "Look, don't get nervous, okay? We just want to talk." So I said, "Uh-huh, what are we going to talk about?" Okay. So he said, "Well, look, the guy at the head of the table is very interesting. He said, I'm from New Orleans, and I came up here to talk with you." And the other guy, he didn't say where he was from, okay? The fellow from the CIA. Oh, no, I looked at him, and I said, "Yeah, and you?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, this is very interesting." He said, "Oh, I'm an actor as well." You know, I said, "CIA?" He said, "Yeah, but I'm an actor." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I didn't get a part in Witness." You remember that there was a movie, it was a commercial movie about, I think I saw half of it one Sunday afternoon, about Quakers or something. There was somebody who knew an undercover operation in, you know,
Latin America
or something, you know. And he said, "You know, I didn't get a part in that." You know, fantastic. You know, what do I know? So you know, and he said to me, the guy from CIA, he said, "No, we just met." You know, he's pointing to the guy from the FBI. Mm. So they're working out their relationship here, you know. But they've told me, they've identified themselves. Okay.
Do they identify themselves by name? Do they give you a name? Or?
Oh, they gave me a name. Okay. And I started scribbling stuff down. Okay. And then I saw them watching me, and I said, "Scribble when you get out of here." Okay. So they said, I said, what do you want to talk about? And meanwhile, I'm not only outraged, okay, but I'm really fucking nervous, okay? I mean, I have never had this happen to me before, okay? And, I mean, it's just like, you know, whoa, you know? I mean, I wasn't prepared for it, you know? It was sort of like, woo. So I sort of felt like, you know, I just want to get the hell out of here. Can I get the hell out of here, all right? So, I didn't know. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, who the hell knows? Maybe they were going to abduct me a second time. What the hell did I know? So, the thing was, the guy said, "Well, maybe we can work something out." I said, "Maybe we can work something out?" And he said, "Yeah, well, you have a book out." I said, "How the hell do you know?" And they both looked at me and said, "Oh, come on." You know? It's like, "What? You only think your phone stops. you know, come on." You know? I got up and I said, "Look, I gotta think about this, okay? I'm going home, okay? I'm gonna be here tomorrow, okay? I relive the anxiety, mm-hmm. you know. I said, you both will be here tomorrow. And they said, oh yeah, and you can go home. And you'll be paid for the full day. And you can come in tomorrow. And we'll be here. I said, okay, because I want to think about this. I said, okay. Okay. So I left there, okay. And I got home. And I had a cup of mint tea. I didn't trust myself having a scotch. But I had a cup of mint tea, which was supposed to mellow me out. And I put some calming music on, right? And it was very interesting. I called up the temporary agency that had sent me to this job, right? And I said, you know, I just came from this job, you know? Really strange thing happened at this job. And the woman said, uh-huh, what was that? I said, well, these two guys, they identified themselves as being from the U.S. government. And she said, right out of her lips, she said, they told you what we do? And, you know, and then she was like, oh, you know, and it was like, you know, end the conversation, you know. And she said, are you going back? I said, well, I'm thinking about it. And so I hung up the phone. I said, alrighty, welcome to Big League Baseball. So I went and I took a walk, and I came back, and I said, far out. Okay, let's do the game, okay? So I took out my tape recorder, okay, and didn't dress in my suit the second go around, put on more my dungaree tough guy outfit you know, I was going to be paid for it anyway, and I didn't have to work. They just wanted to talk to me, the hell with that shit, you know, and I went uptown, okay, and I came into the boardroom, and they're both sitting there, okay, in their suits, and by the way, these guys look like anybody else, okay? Yeah, they just look like anybody, okay? They're sitting there, and I don't remember the conversation word for word, but at one point, this really, you know, like was a mind blower to me. At one point, and I guess I was being glib and, you know, trying to find a basis of taking it seriously, right? And so this one guy, he says to me, he says, like, you know, a dialogue which I wouldn't write, I mean, you know, but he says to me, well, what do you want? I said, what do you mean, what do I want? And he says, well, your book isn't going to get published. You know, and they just sort of like looked at me like, you know, oh, grow up, you know. And I sort of looked at them and I said, oh yeah, how about a job at the New York Times? So they looked at each other and I was like, that's all he wants. You know, no problem, Jim, you know, we got a deal, you know. And I looked at them and I stood up and I said, okay. You know, I mean, in the back of my mind, because I really write better scripts than this. You know, I just sort of say, okay, you know, you want me to play Robert Redford? I'll play Robert Redford here, okay? I said, hey, no. Listen, you stupid son of a bitches. I'll tell you what I want, okay? I want truth and justice, okay? And next, both of you, I want both of you to go take a flying fuck at the moon, okay? And I'm out of here. And you can send the fucking check. Okay? So I walked out of there. Oh. So the important thing to keep in mind is I had you know, to them crossed the line, right? I mean, like I'd gotten to them macho, I think, right? And here, you know, they wanted to make me a deal that I couldn't refuse, you know. And here, I'm being a wise ass, you know. And, you know, like, and on top of it, telling them to go fuck themselves, you know. So they got to teach me a lesson, right? I mean, this is what, you know, I summarize, okay? New York City, the book's out, at my agent, trying to get published. I'm back in my apartment. I've had the one setup situation in an office, and I did get paid, by the way, for 2 full days.
Okay.
And, I mean, they're good with the money, you know? So,
After you told them to take a hike, did they try to contact you in any way immediately after that?
Yeah. Dig this. Okay. Because actually, there were 3 setup situations, all right? I'm really rushing things. The anxiety, I sort of...
Let's talk about this first one.
Yeah, all right. The second one, I'm back in New York. I get in touch with my editor, my agent. I say, how are things going? She said, well, I went out to a couple of houses, but it came back. She said, you know, I still want to work with her. I said, okay, you know, I've got to work day jobs, you know, while doing that, you know. And she said, well, that's all right, you know, you won't be the first, you know. I said, all righty, you know. So I said, oh, I've had enough with the suit and tie routine here, okay. So I got a job working in the garment district in a warehouse, packing crap in a warehouse, okay, packing different leather goods, imported leather goods in a warehouse in the garment district, which is it in the 30s, between 7th and 9th Avenue in Manhattan, okay? So, the day I arrive, again, it's a temporary service, but this is like, you know, manual labor, temporary. Okay, so I got my work boots on and my sweatshirt, and I'm doing manual labor in the warehouse. Okay, there were 6 or 7 other temporary help, all black. The intelligence community hires people from all different types of groups. And they arrive in the warehouse, okay? So now we come to death threat time, by the way, kids. So I'm working in the warehouse, and it's lunchtime, okay? And I'm trying to, like, maintain my cool, you know, just sort of feeling like, you know, I don't know, okay, you know, if the agent's doing the book around, you know, like, maybe I should just go back up to Vermont and get the hell out of, you know, the country, but I'll get some money from this gig. Maybe I won't pay rent next month and I'll just split.
Okay. So how long after the first set of situations is this?
Oh, right away. I mean, New York, you don't have money. You can't run out of money in New York, man. You got to stay on the ball,
days.
You know. Yeah, you know, you got to rebound quick, mm-hmm. You know, okay. So it's lunchtime, okay. Got to take my brown bag and my thermos, and I go off in the corner, and I'm having lunch, right? And there was this fellow, small type fellow, 5'4", lightweight, powerful, strong, no fat on him. And he had mentioned about the Marines, you know, and, you know, like, I did, it's just like, you know, I was unloading trucks and, you know, blah, 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 and they talk. So, I'm eating my lunch, and he comes and sits down. He says, can we talk? I said, yeah. He said, well, you know, I came from Hawaii to talk with you. I said, oh, fuck. I said, who are you with? He said, U.S. Army Intelligence. I said, shit. So he said, hey, man, you know, like, stay cool, you know, it's okay, you know, just want to talk, you know, we want to talk about, you know, Indianapolis, you know, in Indiana. So here was the first time, solid confirmation, okay, I really wasn't nuts, it really happened, okay.
The others didn't mention that incident at all.
No, they just mentioned about the book. Right. Yeah, yeah. And so I said, look, I don't think I want to talk to you, okay? I told you what I wanted, truth and justice. I don't think I'm going to get that by talking with you. You hip? And so he said, uh-huh. He said, I've got somebody to report to, okay? So I said, okay, look, you got to do your trip, man, but I'm telling you, okay? I don't think I got anything to talk to you folks about, okay? I've written it all out, okay? And I told you what I wanted, okay? Truth and justice, you know? And I said, just leave me alone. I just want to do this job. I want to get the money. I'm leaving New York, okay? And so he got up. He said, okay, you should eat your lunch. Yeah. Bye. Okay.